Well, welcome to the first week of our brand new series called Great Expectations. Sometimes life can seem routine, ordinary, just average. Someone asks you how you're doing, you probably, if you're like most people, you probably say, I'm fine. Not, I'm great. Things are amazing. I'm so excited about all the opportunities that are going to come with this new day. In fact, if you responded that way, they'd look at you like you're nuts. Believe me, I've tried it. But when we lower our expectations in life, we miss the great things that God is doing every day. Graces that go unnoticed, healings that are overlooked, small victories that are never celebrated. In this series, we're inviting you to see with new eyes, expand your vision, and believe again in the God who does exceedingly more than we ask or imagine. We want you to believe for more and expect more from God. More grace, more purpose, more breakthroughs, even in the ordinary moments of life. Because when you live with great expectations, you make room for God to act in greater ways in your life. Today I want to talk with you about expect a greater return. When I was in business school, I learned about something called a cost-benefit analysis. When companies are thinking about expanding into new markets or creating a new product or making some other major decision, they'll look at the cost, the amount of money it will take, the amount of risk it will involve, and then compare that or weigh it against the potential upside, the benefit. You know, more customers, more income, greater profits. But a cost-benefit analysis is not just something that businesses do. Whenever we're facing a major decision in our lives, switching jobs, changing a career, moving to a new place, going to college or graduate school, beginning a new relationship, we ask ourselves deep down on the inside, is it worth it? Will it pay off in the end? What return can I expect to see for my investment? Well, over the last 100 years, the average annual rate of return for the stock market has been about 10%. And that means that for every dollar you invest in the market, you can expect to earn 10 cents on that dollar every year over the long term. When you invest in real estate, buy real estate, you can expect a similar increase. When you go to college, same thing. But what about when you invest in following Jesus, being faithful to God? What's the advantage? The benefit of that. The Apostle Peter wondered that also. He once asked Jesus, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will there be for us?" Peter wanted to know what the payoff was, whether the benefit would exceed, outweigh the cost. Jesus said to him in reply, "Everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father, or mother, or children, or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and inherit eternal life." That payoff is far greater than investing in the stock market, real estate, going to college, a high-paying job. In fact, when you run the numbers and do the math, it's pretty much the best investment in town. What am I saying? For every step you take to follow the Lord, everything you do to become more like Jesus, every minute you spend in prayer, serving others, doing the right thing when it's hard, honoring God when it's not convenient, you can expect to see a greater return. Now that's the benefit, but what about the cost? Well, in today's gospel reading, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He tells it like it is. He says it plainly and clearly. He says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, obviously, Jesus was exaggerating to make a point. He was saying your faith has to be the absolute number one priority in your life. Everything else takes second place. Your hobbies, your interests, your job, and even your family. Sometimes that means you have to give up certain things, activities you once enjoyed or personal agendas, people, relationships that will pull you away from God. But really, it's an opportunity. the return will be worth it. You'll see a far greater reward in the end. To make his point, Jesus compared the cost of discipleship, following him, to building a building or waging a war. A builder has to calculate the cost of constructing a tower. It'll take labor, materials, time. A king or an army general has to calculate the cost of raising an army and defeating the enemy. That will take soldiers, weapons, and equipment. But in both cases, there's a big bonus for all that effort and expense: a beautiful new building, a tower, and a great military victory. And it's the same with faith. Whatever cost comes your way with faith, you can expect a far greater return. The problem is that following the teachings of Christ and being obedient to God isn't exactly like building a building or waging a war, because you don't know, you can't always see what the benefit of faith actually is. Of believing when all the signs say it's impossible, you're just wasting your time. When you give your life to Christ, you don't know exactly what the reward will be in the end, especially in this life. You don't know what the reward will be or how things are going to pan out. And sometimes there are not even signs of progress along the way. You know, like when you pour the foundation for a construction project, or the walls go up or the roof comes on, you can see the progress. Or even when an army wins a battle and gains new territory, you can see the progress that's being made. But not always with faith. You can't always see the progress. When it comes to faith, you don't know what the future will bring. And sometimes you might ask yourself, if I'm really being faithful, being serious about it, are things really going to be better for me in the end? If I honor God, I take the hard road and I really honor God with my life, is that investment really going to pay dividends in the future? It's a human question to ask. I have this telescope in my room at home. It was a gift from someone. I use it to spy on the other churches in the area, see who's going there and what the other pastors are doing. But the other day I saw this enormous vulture sitting out on a branch out in front of the yard, and I honed in on him, a beautiful creature, believe it or not. I got this close-up, and I wouldn't want his job, but a beautiful creature. And it got me thinking about, like, eagles. I had heard these stories about eagles. When a mother eagle is going to have a baby eaglet, she lays an egg. And for 35 days, she has to sit on that egg to keep it warm. Unlike a human baby, the mother eagle will never feel a kick. The egg will never grow larger. There will be no sounds or movement to indicate that her baby is even alive. And yet, day after day, she sits there. Instinct tells her it's worth it. All that time sitting on the egg will eventually pay off. And sure enough, 35 days later, with no signs of life before that, suddenly the egg begins to move and rattle. The little eaglet starts pecking out from the shell and before long hatches healthy and whole, finally bursting free of that egg. In the same way, when it comes to your faith, you've got to believe that all that praying, all that serving, everything you're putting into living a good life for the Lord, standing on his promises, believing in his goodness, trusting in his providence, waiting for the miracle, the healing, and expecting victory in his name, it's all going to add up. And one day that egg is going to burst open and you will see the reward, the greater return. First reading today from the Book of Wisdom says, "Who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberation of mortals is timid, and unsure are our plans." The author was saying, our minds cannot always grasp God's plan. That's what makes faith feel risky. You can see the cost involved, that's obvious, but not always the benefit. That takes faith. It's faith that gives us the courage to walk with God in the dark, down a pathway where we don't know where it's going to lead, or whether there's a pot of gold or some reward at the end of it. You just don't know. And that's the problem with faith. And I've seen it in my own life. In my own life. God kept calling me to serve in the priesthood. It took 20 years before I finally stepped up. For so long, all that I could see was the cost, the risk, the sacrifice, you know, the loneliness, the long hours, the low pay, the Sunday work, wearing black all the time, you know. All I could see was the cost. What I couldn't see was the benefit. And like Peter, I kept asking, would there be something for me? Would it all be about, you know, the cross, giving up my family, my home, my career, my freedom, my life, my friends? Would my life as a priest only be about serving others? Or might there be some kind of blessing or benefit or bonus for me? What I didn't realize is that once I finally said yes, that's when the reward would be made clear. I came from a small family, just my mom, my dad, and an older brother. And my mother was an only child, no brothers or sisters. And my father had only one sibling. She never married or had children and lived in California. I practically never saw her as a kid. And so for all intents and purposes, I grew up with no aunts, uncles, cousins, second cousins, twice removed, whatever. You know, no extended family to speak of. And to be honest, it was kind of lonely. I always dreamed of being part of a big family, a big Catholic family, to be exact. A friend of mine in my 20s was Italian Catholic, had this huge family, and sometimes I'd get invited over for the Sunday dinners, and I was always so jealous of those big get-togethers, the noise, the laughter, the chaos, the drama, even if I did have to have a nap after it was all over. But it was only after I did what God asked me to do, to become a priest, that that dream finally came true. You see, today, I have you. You are my big, crazy Catholic family. No, I'm just kidding. You're not crazy, but you are my big Catholic family. You are. You are my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. You are my brothers and sisters. You are my big Catholic family. And I love it all. I got everything that I wanted. The big Sunday reunions, the laughter, the chaos, the noise, especially at the 9 a.m. Mass, I love it, and the drama, and sometimes, yes, even the arguing. I love it because I love you. And here's the key. It was only once I stepped out in faith, only after I accepted the cost, that I could see what the return, the greater return, would actually be. Back in Roman times, slavery was common, unfortunately, and it was a brutal system. If you owed a debt that you couldn't pay, or if you had been conquered by an invading army, you could be forced into slavery. At any given point in time in the Roman Empire, about 20 to 30% of the population were slaves. Now, Onesimus, in the second reading today, was a runaway slave, and he belonged to a man named Philemon. And because slaves were considered property, they did not have any rights. And so a slave who had run away, like Onesimus, could be beaten, could be severely punished, could be even put to death by the owner, and no one would object. But somewhere along the line, Onesimus met the Apostle Paul and became a Christian. He became a Christian, and now Paul himself was in prison. And he decided to write a letter to Philemon, asking him to take Onesimus back, but not as a slave, as a free man, a fellow believer in Christ, another child of the Most High God. That was a huge ask at that time. Forgiving Onesimus, setting him free, would raise eyebrows. People would talk, and it would cost Philemon a lot of money. He would lose his entire investment in Onesimus. But Paul knew that what costs us the most often counts the most to God. What did Philemon get in return? A deeper, more fulfilling relationship with Onesimus, to be sure. An opportunity to be a living witness to the power of the gospel, forever remembered in Scripture, and a kind of peace and joy that no property, no money could ever buy. As Paul himself said in the letter, Philemon may be losing a slave, but he's gaining a brother. Being a believer comes at a high cost. Jesus never promised us a bed of roses, but what he did promise us is a hundredfold return in the end. Blessings, influence, provision far beyond what you surrendered. The power to bring healing, hope, and freedom into our world. A peace that surpasses all understanding. The joy of living for something that lasts forever. It's easy to get complacent, comfortable where we are, enjoying the blessings we have, and not rock the boat. And where you are now may be good. You may be content and happy, but not for where God is taking you. He is calling you higher. He's got greater things in mind for you. He's going to go beyond what you have seen in the past. But it's going to take greater commitment, greater devotion, greater generosity, and greater risk. But when you stand in agreement with God, stay in faith, pray for what looks impossible, when you're willing to pick up that cross and carry it, even when things are hard, pushing past the fear, continuing to be courageous in life, you're not going to lose anything. You're gaining everything. Every time you say yes to God, to prayer, to service, to faithfulness, to greater responsibility, you are making the best investment of your life. You will go further, faster. You will get farther in life. You will get closer to your destiny. You will see greater things in your life. In other words, you can expect a far greater return.